Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to see the same faces this evening that I saw this morning. And a few extra. Jerry, it's nice to see you out in the house tonight. Jerry brought the kids some candy for their sweet tooth. Amen. It's always good to see you, Jerry. Father, I just truly do thank you and I praise you for all you've done. I felt your love so strong here tonight, Father. And Father God, I'm asking that you keep pouring out that love into your people. These are the faithful ones, Father, that really are following you with all their heart, expecting you, Father, to show up and do the perfect works within them. Tonight's no different, Father. We come together to seek your face and to abide with you. And Father, I thank you that you're meeting our request tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to clarify something I said this morning. I was saying about, you know, my two husbands, they were both good people, all right? They're both in heaven rejoicing with the Father, and they're like everybody else. They were bound, and God always needs somebody to set people free, right? And I found out with my first husband, when he came there, he was not really going to go to heaven. And God sent him there so that we could get him prepared to go to heaven. So he's there in heavenly places. God said he's already praying for me for strength. So, you know, he's already at his post with a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before. So whatever our assignment is, it's always about souls. Always remember that. It's always about souls. Not what you're going to get out of it. You do get something out of it. If you see a soul go to heaven, then you got something out of it, right? If you're working with a person who's dying, you need to watch everything that's going on with them. Because with Ted, you know, I just saw things and said, God, this is not right. This is not somebody that's going to heaven. And then he said, look very closely. Watch what's going on. And he was fighting all of hell at different times. He was in a, you know, and I said, God, he's fighting all of hell right now because I witnessed somebody else do that before. He said, yes, he is. Reinforce him. Undergird him with prayer. And, you know, I just prayed and prayed and read the word, sang, had Christian music on to help him get through that battle so he could go to heaven. So, you know, sometimes you're just going to have to help the person battle through, you know, and just make sure that the enemy doesn't hold them back. And this is what God told me. He said the enemy has to put a wall between him and me, holding him back and trying to drag him into hell before, you know, you get the wall torn down. So I worked really hard at getting that wall torn down so that he could go to heaven because that was his desire. So everything you do for God is always a battle. You know, it's warfare. And you have to make sure that you are ready to do that warfare before you take up an assignment. God wants to speak about where the roses never die. There's a song that I found in looking this up. It says, I'm going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. And that's an old song. Yeah. As I read about flowers, in the Bible, flowers are often used as symbolism for beauty, growth, temporal things, fullness, and more. The gospel can be seen in all of creation. Flowers are a beautiful example of God's sovereignty, his faithfulness, and that his love will never fade. Now this is what God spoke. I so desire to take my children where the roses never die. I so desire to take you to that place of utmost peace where there are no tears nor sorrow. I would like to take you to that place of utter peace where all you can do is listen to my voice of instruction and carry out my commands. It means right now, not when you die. So let's read this again. I so desire to take my children where the roses never die. I so desire to take you to that place of utmost peace where there are no tears nor sorrow. I would like to take you to that place of utter peace where all you can do is listen to my voice of instruction and carry out my commands. You are the generation of loyal ones that I am using in this end time dispensation to bring the captives into complete freedom. Let's stop there. You know, God gave me this, and I was going to give it for the AM service. Then when he gave me the PM service, I thought, well, I know who's going to be there at night, so this is for you guys, all right? And I knew the one I gave this morning was for in the morning because of who was there. So he says, you, everyone sitting here, are the generation of loyal ones that I am using in this end time dispensation to bring the captives into complete freedom. Who's he going to use you to work with? The captives, the world that he's sending to you. God said the bondage has been hard and long, and many have lost all hope of recovery. Now, he's talking about the captives, not you. The bondage has been hard and long, and many have lost all hope of recovery. But what I'm about to bring upon this generation will totally and completely remove all shackles and chains. And the captives that are freed will go forth with total and complete faith, knowing that through me they are able to accomplish whatsoever I send them forth to accomplish. He wants to use each one of you in here to do this for the people. God said they have the mindsets, you know, these people that were in bondage, they have the mindsets, if God said it, then I can accomplish it. Children, will you be one of those that I can call up hither and give you orders, and you will go forth and conquer on all sides? Are you one tonight that God can call to the third heaven? And I've been reading where more and more and more people are going to the third heaven. Why haven't any of us gone there? We have to ask ourselves this question. What is it, God, that's keeping me from going to the third heaven? I tell you, I want to go, and I'm sitting here willing to go. Why are you not taking me there? Just ask yourself these questions. God said, there are so many mysteries that I want to share with you at this given time. As you come up hither, I will share insight that others have not had the privilege to know. There are so many mysteries that I want to share with you at this given time. As you come up hither, I will share insights that others have not had the privilege to know. As you share that insight with the rest of the body of believers, you shall see many more come into my kingdom. Let's stop there. Whenever God said there are so many mysteries that I want to share with you that nobody else has heard, didn't he do that with John? So if he did it for John, then he's willing to do it for us. Are you understanding this? This is a time now where he wants to pull us up into the third heaven and share the mysteries with us like he did for John, with John. God said, I am always, as you share that insight with the rest of the body of believers, you shall see many more come into my kingdom. I am always talking about seeing many more come into my kingdom. Now he says, with this I am saying, those who have been sitting in the house with no salvation will finally see their need for true salvation. So, you know, as God takes you up into the third heaven, shares mysteries with you, and you come back and you share it with the body of Christ, there's a lot of people sitting in the house of God that's never going to go to heaven. Then they're going to understand that they can go to heaven, and they'll give themselves to God, and they'll be prosperous for God. God said, many on the street, now he's talking about the house of God here, he's talking about people like us. Then he goes on to say, many on the streets will begin to understand that there is a way that they have no knowledge of, and as you keep revealing the secrets of my word to them, they too will come to the full revelation knowledge of a living Savior. God said, you must keep running the race, and as you run, receive brand new revelation of what my kingdom is all about. Hasn't God been telling us that there's secrets in the Bible, in the Word, that nobody's yet uncovered? Whenever they did the code, you know, where everybody's name's in the Bible, Perry Stone's name was in there, and all of his children were in there, and his wife was carrying that baby, and he knew what that baby was going to be and what her name was. God is doing the very same thing now. See, this is a new 40-year dispensation of time. And now God's starting over again and starting to reveal to us now what he's been revealing in the last 40-year dispensation. All right, you must keep running the race, and as you run, and in other words, when he says you must keep running your race, don't quit, don't stop, don't sit down, and don't say, oh, well, you know, God's not, just because he didn't take you to third heaven yet, and he hasn't revealed any secrets to you yet, he revealed secrets to you and your brother you were sharing with me today in the office. You know, these are secrets that nobody else knows, and that if he hasn't been revealing anything to you, don't quit. He just hasn't gotten around to you yet. You just haven't positioned yourself in the right position to receive those deep secrets from God. All right? God's been really showing me a lot of deep secrets in the Word, and I'm excited. And, you know, I just want to sit in His presence all the time to hear what He's saying, because it's things that people have not seen before. All right. God said, just as you train as a runner from year to year and receive more knowledge how to run to win, you must do the very same thing in my kingdom. He said, keep running, don't quit, and you have to keep learning new ways to run this race with God. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. There's a certain way you're going to have to run this race, and that's with full commitment. We heard that this morning, right? And as you fully commit yourself to God and you really seek God's face, he's going to give you deep revelation knowledge that's going to blow people's minds. Some of the things that you revealed to me that God has showed you, just, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, God, you know, it's just awesome of the things that you're bringing out now that we've never even thought of or heard of before. Now, there is much knowledge. God said, there is much knowledge that my body knows not of, and I so desire to reveal it at this given time. This is a new era, a new season of knowledge, and I need you to understand what that knowledge is all about. Right now, this hour, this day, is a time when God wants to start revealing new revelation knowledge to you. And don't ever think, oh, well, they already know that. No, they don't. If they do, God wouldn't be revealing it to you. And if they do, they probably don't know it. They don't know it in the depth that God is showing it to you now. You know, what's the Bible say? He shows in part, you know, and God wants us to have all the parts so that we can run effectively. All right, God said the enemy is, now listen to this, the enemy is hitting below the belt at this given time, and you must be ready for all of his low blows. You hearing that? The enemy is hitting below the belt at this given time, and you must be ready for all of his low blows. God said, I warned you that this time was coming, and I also told you how to avoid the enemy's traps. I spent much time calling you into the third heaven. I talked to you about the open heavens. I talked to you about coming into the Holy of Holies. I talked to you about walking holy before a holy God. I talked to you about righteousness. Children, there is nothing I withheld from you. And isn't that all the things that God's been talking to us about? He said, I have withheld nothing from you. God said, I have been speaking to you about a higher walk with me. I have been talking about this new era that you have entered into. This is a new dispensation of time that you have not been in before. You have not been in this new dispensation of time before. Kick your husband. Thank you. God said, I have been telling you about the glory drop. I have withheld nothing from you. God's been instructing us all along what he's doing. And he told us not to grow weary in saying the glory's coming. He warned us, I don't know how many years ago, that it's not coming that day, but it would come. And some lost heart, and they believe it's never going to come. But that's your problem, not mine. You know, and if somebody else doesn't believe it, that's their problem. You keep believing because it really is coming. Then God said, I am not a foolish God. I'm a fun-loving God, but I'm not a foolish God. See that? I want you to enjoy your times with me and the assignments I give you. I never meant for your walk with me to be drudgery. This walk should have been a walk of joy and peace. This walk should have been one of great exuberant laughter. This walk should have been one of great expectations. But that is not how it has been. If you really read about Jesus, you know, he went to weddings and he went sit down with the drunkards and the money changers and with the tax collectors, and he laughed and had a good time doing all that. And he didn't sin. He was just a light to a dark, dark world. But he had, even though he knew where he was headed, he was enjoying his journey along the way. He didn't sit down and say, "Woe is me," you know. So why do we do that? Ask yourself that. God said, instead of reading my word for yourselves and asking the Holy Spirit to break it down for you, you believe what false teachers taught you, and the false teachings placed you in bondage. That's why we have so much religion in the body of Christ today. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." And isn't that what's going on with the homosexuals? You know, the pastors are changing their tune one after another, because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They don't want to lose people in their churches. So they're agreeing that everything is okay. And it's not. It's not. God went on to say, "I told you false teachers and prophets were amongst you, but you paid no attention to that either. I gave you all that heaven had to offer so that you would not get caught up into the cares of this world and lose your mantles. When I give you a mantle, I never give it with the expectations of you losing it. I give it to you with great expectation of all the wonderful feats you are going to accomplish for me and my kingdom." You know, and so I'm going to have to insert this here, that God said, when I give you a mantle, I never give it with the expectation of you losing it, but he knows you're going to. He has to if he knows all things about you. He has to if it's written in your book, right? But he gives it to you, expecting you to go ahead and run the race. All right, God went on to say, "Where did I go wrong?" I didn't. You made the wrong turns, and when I spoke and told you not to go down the side road, you went anyway. God said, "Where did I go wrong? Where did God go wrong?" And God said, "I didn't. You made the wrong turns, and when I spoke and told you not to go down the side roads, you went anyway. I stood by and watched from afar as you did all the wrong things. I will not in any way make you do anything for my kingdom. I suggest I never make. The enemy pushes and shoves and demands, but I am lowly at heart. I give you my word. I gave you my son Jesus and his blood. I gave you my Holy Spirit, and I said, take up your cross daily and follow me. I never demanded that you take up your cross daily. I instructed you how to do it, and the rest was up to you." You know the story I told you a long time ago when I first born again, and where I was in that church, and you know, I was really humiliated, and it didn't bother me. But I got home and the family said, "You have a right to be upset." And they kept telling me that till I said, "Yeah, I really do have a right to get upset, and I'm going to get upset." And God said, "Daughter, don't go there. You don't have a right to get upset. Don't go there." And I said, "Well, if I want to." He said, "Go ahead." So for 1 year, I had a right to be upset. The Holy Spirit totally left me. And I cried out to God and cried out to God. And one day he said, "Don't ever go there again." Are you listening? You don't have a right to go there. Jesus already paid the price for whatever anybody is going to do to you. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Mark 8:34 says, Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." In Matthew 10:38, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. In Luke 14:27, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In the very beginning, God started out, I so desire to take my children where the roses never die. And those songs tonight just so went into this sermon. They really did. I so desire to take you to that place of utmost peace where there are no tears nor sorrow. I would like to take you to that place of utter peace where all you can do is listen to my voice of instruction and carry out my commands. God wants to take you to that secret place, just like Jesus went to the secret place all the time. He went to that quiet place where he could, you know, close out the world and all the junk they were saying about him and doing to him and all the doubt and disbelief. And he could just sit in the presence of the Father. And the Father could refresh him without all the clamor around about him. If you ever call me on the phone, you won't ever call me again, because the ones that do will verify that my boys act up every time I get on the phone and I have to hang up. The minute I get on the phone, they start. The minute I get off, they're just as quiet as little bugs. I don't know what that's all about. I said, but God, this is a cross that I have to carry, you know. So, you know, and I don't fuss about it. You guys have to quit fussing. You just have to understand there's some things you're just going to have to endure without fussing, and just go on and run your race. Okay, children, where flowers bloom, so does hope. Where flowers bloom, so does hope. As you enter into this place of utmost peace, you will always receive the hope that this lost and dying world has need of. You will receive the hope that this lost and dying world has need of. And then you're going to take that to them. And Jesus, God said, as you take this peace, you take hope. And where there is hope, the flowers, and he's told me his flowers are to the children, will blossom once more and do great and mighty exploits for my kingdom of light. So see, souls, God is calling these souls flowers. I've heard God call you people when he's been given prophetic words. He's calling you different flowers. And I think that's awesome that God looks at us like roses or like the Rose of Sharon or whatever he happens to call us. His flowers never fade. So that means you're never going to fade. That means you're just going to have a beautiful fragrance all your life. And you're just going to just attract all kind of little bees. You know? Little bees of God that God wants you then to minister to. I'm hearing him say, with the syrup of his presence, and bring them into glory where he can then minister to them. God says, will you please take my invitation to come into this heavenly realm where the flowers never die? Will you please be a willing vessel of honor that I can move through? Will you please die out to self as my son Jesus did and bring in the lost at any cost? I am waiting with arms wide open, and I have called you into this place of utmost peace. And see, that you've got to understand that it is peace that God keeps stressing here. Peace. Because there's so much turmoil in the world. So much strife. And if you don't get that peace inside of you, then the enemy has you. You have to have a place inside of you that you can run to, and that's into God, where there's peace that passes all understanding, where the enemy cannot ever get into that place. I'm going to tell you what I do when I run into that secret place. I also wrap myself in a blanket of blood, because God once told me, never forget the blanket of blood. I wrap myself in that blanket of blood of peace of Jesus, and I go into the Father. And I get the perfect peace that I need to go on and do the things that I have to do. There's so much that God wants to do for us tonight. There's so much that he wants to take us into those marvelous places. We keep reading about all these people go to heaven. I'm tired of reading about it. I've been to hell. I'm tired of reading about it. Now, I would like to be one that goes into heaven, into that third heaven, and I want to be set at Jesus' feet and to be taught the deep secrets of God's kingdom and his word. I'm tired of hearing about somebody else say, oh, the streets are made of gold. I want to see that with my own eyes. I'm tired of people saying, well, you know, I talked to the disciples. I want to talk to the disciples myself. Until you're sick and tired of hearing, and you really want to see yourself, you're not going to see. And God's not going to take you there. Come on. John 14:27 said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. My peace I give you. And Jesus said, the peace I give you is not like the world's peace. The world doesn't have any peace anyhow, if you think about it. They don't have peace. You know, and that's why you need the peace of God. When people look at you, they think, I know you. No, you're totally nuts. You should be upset and frantic, but you're standing there like there's nothing going on at all, and you're in perfect peace. That's a peculiar Christian. And I don't see too many peculiar Christians anymore. Because we look too much like the world. We act like the world. Come on. I was thinking the other day, you know, I see more and more tattoos. Now the movie stars are tattooing their faces. So now I expect to see the world tattoo their faces. The Bible says, do not mark your body. The Bible tells you not to pierce your body too. And just because somebody else doesn't say a child of God should do it. So you shouldn't be getting tattoos, and you shouldn't be piercing yourself either. All right? You want, once you've learned that that's not godly, then you should never get another one. I don't care who gets one or who pierces their ears or their eyeballs or whatever they pierce everything anymore. That doesn't mean you should ever do that. Come on. Are you a child of God? Are you different? Are you unique? Are you peculiar, or are you not? You should stand out to the world. I don't care what they say about you. They said all kind of manner of evil about Jesus, right? So, you guys are already tattooed. Every time I see one of your tattoos, I say, God, you're a miracle working God. You could, if you can cure leprosy, which you did, you can take that tattoo off of their body too. I do pray that. Because he can. Now they found a way to remove it, makes it expensive and scars your body. But why go through all that when we have a miracle-working God who can take them away? All right? Only believe. Receive. Believe, and then receive. God said, heads up. This will cost you everything. You cannot any longer be part of the world and part of the church. This is total commitment time for you. Heads up. Nothing ever comes easy. God requires something of you. What are you willing to give him tonight to go up into the third heaven? Truly go into the third heaven. Aaron, you get so excited when God shows you the little tiniest things. What do you think you'd be? I don't know if I want you to go to third heaven. We wouldn't be able to stand you. No, really. What do you think you'd be like if he took you to third heaven and revealed all the stuff that's up there? Wouldn't that be awesome? This is how I view God. I view God through eyes like that. God, I want what you say I can have. I want to go to heaven. You know, and God has shown me many, many things, but I can't never say I've ever gone to heaven. If I have, I don't know I did. It's like many times when I went out and I come up and lay, go out in the spirit, I'd be there for 2-3 hours. I don't know. I might have been in heaven for all I know. Might have been up there getting instruction for God. I don't know where I went. Went somewhere. And Brother Chris was usually with me. He could attest to the fact that I didn't lay there and snore. I was not sleeping. You know. But when I would come to, you know, I would just all of a sudden come to, like you all do. I don't know where I've been, and I realized the church was totally empty. They'd already done the praise and worship, did the message, did the altar call, and I'm still up there out in the spirit. I had to be somewhere. And I my question to God is, God, was I in heaven and didn't know it? Is there a reason why you're, if I was there, is there a reason why you're not showing me why, what happened up there? I don't know. But I'm one inquisitive person. And I'm not content with the norm. I am not. I want the supernatural realm really bad. I want the supernatural realm in this church. I want each one of you filled with the supernatural realm. So that when you go out into the highways and the byways, that just somebody walking by you, they're going to be healed. Are you listening here? You know, you think you have a dilemma. You know, when I was first born again and went into church, people walking by me got healed. You know, or you know, all kind of things manifested just walking by me. And now you walk by me and say, "Hi, Pastor Barbara, how are you today?" You don't manifest nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's okay, God. How come it happened then, but it's not happening today? I'm not getting an answer, but I know I will. Because I'm not content to know why this no longer happens. Are you understanding this? Don't be content in the state. I know the Bible says be content in whatever state you're in, but that's a different situation. And God doesn't want you to be content in right where you're at today, stuck in the mud somewhere. He wants you to climb higher than you've ever climbed before. He wants you to do great and mighty exploits for Him. And you can't do it sitting in the same hole that you've been sitting in for 10 years. You can't do that. We're supposed to be growing in God, not being stagnant. We're supposed to be seeing great signs, wonders, and miracles. I spend all night long some nights praying, God, why is the glory not in the church? I do. Then I remind Him of what He's told me. And He keeps telling me, I haven't changed my mind. Well, then tell me what we're doing now. You know, and I hope you do the same with your life. All right, God, this is what you prophesied to me. Why is this not happening? What, am I doing something wrong? And He always tells me no. But He doesn't tell me anything else either. So all I have to know right now is I'm not doing anything wrong. And then all I have to do is be still. Be still. I used to get so tired of hearing God say that, but I'd say, God, just tell me. You can talk to me. I don't care, but I've heard be still quite a bit here lately. So is God telling you to be still? Then be still, but don't be content. Say, God, I'm being still, but I still want to go higher. You're calling me into the third heaven. God called this church about 3 years ago. Tonight, I wanted you to come up into the third heaven with me. God did that. We didn't ask for that night. God told us the heavens are open over the Lighthouse Church. We didn't ask God that. He just told us that one night. Sorry, God, we didn't ask for all this. Now we want to know why we cannot come up into the third heaven and sup with you like so many are doing. All right. Now I just heard some are just riding on the coattails of other stories. And they haven't really been in heaven with me. So don't you be one of those either. When you go to heaven, you make sure you're in heaven and not imagining something that somebody else has said and writing a book to make you lots of money or make you popular. All right, maybe, just maybe, that might be why you haven't gone to the third heaven yet. Maybe you're not died out to self enough where pride will be able to come in and take over if you go to the third heaven. And I know that's from God. Maybe, just maybe, pride is sort of lying dormant, just waiting for a chance to rear its ugly head. Wow, look what I did. I just went to heaven and nobody else has. There comes pride. See, if God knows that pride is there, lying dormant, He's not going to do those things for you. So you make sure that you have crucified everything, even the hairs on your head. And then watch and see what God's going to do with you. He says, when you do that, I'm going to come on eagle's wings and I'll carry you to heaven. and you will know that you've been to heaven. It'll be your experience and not somebody else's. All right. I was watching an eagle yesterday flying across my front yard, soaring down and up and down and up. And I saw God. How I would like to take a ride on that eagle. Because I had just read where somebody did that. Now, that isn't why I said that. God was saying that about the eagle. But then it brought back that remembrance. Do you do stuff like that? You know, when you see God's nature they made, then you understand how awesome he is. And say, oh God, if only. If only. Like that day, I was going to say to God is, your trees are so beautiful. And he laughed and laughed as I wait 3 days to talk to you. And all I was going to tell him is how beautiful his trees were. Do you look at nature and think, God, you're so wonderful. Look what you've made. Without you, we wouldn't have the trees. We wouldn't have flowers. We wouldn't have none of that. Where are you at in your mind with God? In heavenly places, thinking about what he created all the time, or just every now and then. God said, how hungry and how thirsty are you to really sup and dine with him in the heavenly places at the table he has already prepared for you to sit at? He said, your table's already set. He's just waiting for you. So the altar's open tonight for you to go up into the third heaven with the Father. And not only go up there, but dine with him and learn of his amazing secret ways. And God's saying there's more to the cross than you know. There's more to the cross than anybody knows. And he desires your hungry hearts tonight to go up there so he can share the deeper secrets of what the cross is really all about. He's saying it's more than salvation, which salvation is very, very, very important, but there's so much more to the cross. Have you died out? Then receive. If you've died out, just receive.